Hello and welcome, YouTube, to the Sweet Healing Wheel. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your secrets to babes. You're not a baby, it's a baby in Christ. It's not somebody that's only been in Christ for a little while. It's someone who hasn't matured in Christ. You know, there's babes in Christ who are like been saved for 20 years, but they've only had Jesus come into their heart. They haven't gone anywhere else with it. There's been no maturity. True. They haven't entered the kingdom. They didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. They didn't know there was another baptism. Have you ever been to a church where they said, do you want the Holy Spirit? And then they'll sit down with you and they'll say, just say like Abba, Abba, Abba. Just say a few of these words and hopefully you get the gift of tongues, and then we can say that you got the Holy Spirit, right? And then we can say you're spirit-filled, but you're not. And then you think you're spirit-filled. And then you go on for how long and you're not actually spirit-filled, but you can feel that you know, nothing's changed or transformed in you, but they've told you that you're spirit-filled because they got you to say a couple of words in tongues that you made up yourself, rather than tongues come upon you, tongues of fire, and you prophesy. True? Amen. So true, that's what happens. Because when the yoke of Jesus comes upon you, you become one with him. And so then he uses your mouth to speak, and you know, you have a fire inside of you. You got to preach the gospel. You can't help it. I mean, it's Jesus. You got to preach, right? You can't help it. That's what he does. He came and he preached salvation to the world. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? So that's what happens when you get the fire of God on side of you. You know, what is this? He's a consuming fire. My God, your God. Your God is a consuming fire. Yahweh Ash. Right? Which means he's a fire inside of your bones. Like Jeremiah. He's like Jeremiah, every time he opened his mouth up, he was like, wish he didn't. Right? But he had to do it because then he would be like, oh! You know? Because he'd be prophesying to the people. And they called him the weeping prophet, right? Every time he spoke, he was like, oh, you know, he was in agony. He wished he didn't say it, but he had to speak the word of God. He could not hold it in. It was the fire inside of him and it had to come out of him or it would consume him. So he has to let it out so it consumes the people, right? And then the fire takes hold of your bones, right? The fire, baptism of fire. But some people like don't even know that that's available. It's true. Some people don't even know that the Holy Spirit is, you know, fire and glory. You know, they'll just talk in tongues, blah, 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 blabbering like the Babylonians. blabbering, but they haven't actually been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you know, because of how the churches do it to try to control, like a fake unity. Okay, so if everyone's speaking in tongues and it looks like we're all the same and we're all in unity, right? And then we don't look like we're bad pastors or we don't look like our church is bad because now everyone's doing the things they should be doing, right? But the glory, when the glory takes a hold of you, these things just happen organically in your life. You begin to, you know, be consumed by God from inside of you. You're not no more, you're not looking out here for God anymore. He's come into your body and consumed your body, right? And now he controls your body from the inside out, not from the outside in. You know, the church is trying to get God inside of you by teaching you the things that you need to do in order to get him into you. You know, but the Bible says he's already come into you and now from inside of you, he takes hold of you and then he comes back out of you into the earth, right? That's pouring the glory into the earth, isn't it? onto my people, into the earth, right? That's the word of God going forth and not and being performed, right? And your words don't fall to the floor. They're performed because it's God speaking through your mouth. That's the Father. That's the Father. So there's none of the whole, trying to do it. It's just he takes a hold of you and he does it, you know. You don't get a choice in the matter. He just grabs you and says, right, you coming with me. You're coming with me. I'm going to use that one. I can take her and I'll do something with her. I can put myself, you know, like all he's doing is he just wants a body. You know, he's looking for a body. That's why it's called the body of Christ. But the body of Christ is so busy playing church, he can't fill any of those bodies. Because they don't have enough time. They're busy. You know what I mean? You got to get to church on Sunday morning and connect on Wednesday. And you got to serve in the church. And then you got to, you know, you're doing all these performances and these external works, right? All this religious type of activity, you know, to try to perform for God when he just wants to fill the bodies. You know, so he's out here looking for bodies. Anybody, doesn't matter who it is, anybody watching, anybody who you know, just wants God. He's not, you know, he's just anybody that will yield to his spirit and do his will. You know, and what's the will of God? It's the word of God. Do the will of God. Who will do the will? You know, without the word of God, it's witchcraft. You need the word. You need the word. So his yoke, it says, is easy. He goes, and you'll find that I'm low in spirit, that I'm low and I'm humble, right? When my yoke comes upon you, you'll learn my ways. What are my ways? They're all through the Bible. All right? When my yoke comes upon you, you will understand my ways, or you will learn my ways. Why? Because I'm inside of you and now I'm going to teach you. I'm going to train you. They'll all be taught by God, he says. So I will teach you my ways and I will give you the revelation and the understanding. And the seven spirits of God will be made manifest inside of your body. Burning spirits, seven of them. Because if you don't have the seven spirits of God burning inside of you, you know, the Bible says once they cast out a demon, what happened? Seven spirit. He cast out a demon, he swept the house and the house was all clean. The demon was cast out, right? And now you need to be filled with something else. Otherwise, that demon goes to look for seven more to bring back. To check if the house is, you know, if they can come back into the house. Has it been filled with God? Has the temple been filled now with God? Because if the temple's filled with God, nothing else can get inside your temple. Because he is the authority of heaven, right? So if you've got when you're a temple of God, no other thing can live inside of you. No other spirit can come into you. So once that demon's cast out, you need to be drinking enough to keep your temple burning with the fire of God, with the glory of God. Okay, so your body is always overflowing with the glory and the Holy Spirit, which pours out. Then you're pouring it out into the other body of Christ, into the body of Christ. Just like Paul, he says, "I pour myself out like a drink offering." You know. So you're continuously pouring yourself out as a drink offering to those around you and filling them with the word of God, filling them with the bread from heaven so that they can understand and know and they can yada Jesus, you know, yada Jesus, know the Lord. He says, know the Lord for they shall all know me. What's know mean? In the Hebrew, yada, which what means? They yada together. They became one together. Right? It's like the Jewish wedding where they yada the wife. You become one spiritually inside of your body with Jesus. You yada your bridegroom and you're the bride of Christ, right? The body is the bride of Christ. Sons and daughters of God, yada Jesus, they'll all know me. and that union, that unity, that oneness of your spirit manifests the spirits of God. The Holy Spirit, who has the seven spirits of God, who is the seven spirits of God, right? The seven spirits of God goes out into the earth, right? They did that in, you can read that in Isaiah. And that's all I'm going to say about it, so go read it. And then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will train you in those spirits. The Holy Spirit will train you in righteousness. The Holy Spirit will train you and disciple you and severely chastise you so you can be humble, so you can receive the grace of God. Because with grace of God, nobody in pride wants grace. They don't even know it exists. Right? And religious pride is the worst, because in their mind they think they know God because they've been taught it from the external, from the outside. So they're learned and they're clever and they have a lot of knowledge. But the knowledge of the glory of God is an internal working through the Spirit. And this stuff's done spiritually, like I said last week. We drive the Spirit, we drive the ship of humanity via the Spirit of God. And this isn't done through an outworking, through an external knowledge. You cannot enter the kingdom by learning how to get in. It's a spiritual, supernatural transporting you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, literally by the Spirit of God. And He does it. He draws you, He trains you, He disciples you, He teaches you. And He reveals Himself to you. He reveals what the cross is all about. Why we need the cross. The forgiveness of sins is the cross. Right? And you go through the cross and your sins are forgiven. And now you're free. You're no longer under the law. You're no longer fully condemned. You're no longer able to be controlled. You're no longer fearful of hell. People can't hang that stuff over you and put that heavy yoke on top of you anymore, because you know, because you've had it revealed to you by the Lord Himself, that He is the Lord, and that, you know, the cross, you've been forgiven. So nobody can control you from the external anymore. And that's very, very fearful for people who don't know the Lord and don't walk in the fear of the Lord, or they've never experienced the fear of the Lord. But those who have the fear of the Lord, because they've come through the cross and they've had the revelation of God come through their body, be made manifest, they know the Lord, they've yarded Jesus, now they walk in that fear of the Lord, and they fear no other thing. They fear nothing else, because they're one with God. I mean, Jesus has been made manifest through your body. He's not scared of going to hell. He's God, right? He knows who He is, and His identity is your identity, because that's who you are in Him. And so there's no more fear. So we walk in the holy fear of the Lord, which is holy and righteous, because you know who you are, you know where you're going, and you know about eternity. And this continuous revelation of the spirit realm and the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, salvation, sanctification, eternity, all these, you know, wonderful revelations that you receive when you're one with God Himself, nothing else bothers you. You're not worried about anything else. And that gospel has consumed your bones, and you need to push that out of your body. That needs to come out and be shared with everybody else. I mean, it's consumed you. So there's no capping and there's no leadership hang-ups. Do you think Jesus cares about who He disciples or who He talks to or who He encourages or what He tells people? No, He doesn't care. He just says it because He wants to set people free. That's the whole point, right? He says, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your mercy, right? That's what He says. He goes, I don't care what day it is, I want them saved. Today is the day of salvation. I don't care what day it is. I don't care what you got on your program. I don't care about your traditions or your religions. I don't care about where you live or what you're meant to do. Today I care about that person being saved. Healed, completely healed and made whole, which is salvation, isn't it? There's no more fear. There's no more condemnation. There's no more fear of hell. There's no more control. You're absolutely free. That's salvation. And that is your promise. You're sealed in that. And that's what you get in eternity. Full. Your salvation is made full, complete, right? And you live that out now. You don't wait till you're dead. You live whole now with no more fear. He goes, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. So we live that out in this reality. So you yada Jesus, the yoke of Jesus, okay, that union, when you're one with him, there is no more want. You can easily, there's no more people pleasing, there's no more wanting to seek approval. There's no more needing to, you know, have this friendship hang up where you need people all the time. I mean, he's enough for you. Okay, he says, I'm going to send you a friend, a comforter, a counselor. I mean, what are all the, you know, the names for the Holy Spirit? I mean, God has 365 names, so he can take on any character, any personality, and he can be anyone for you, right? He's your bridegroom, he's your father, he's your brother, he's your best friend. So he can do all of that for you. But the thing is, people are so locked into the natural realm that they're continuously trying to find their friendships there. And then when their friendships don't give them the things they need, then they try and look for something else to give them the things, to try to find that satisfaction, to find a fulfillment. And every time you do that, you're let down, and then you've got to try and come back up and try to overcome again, right? And then we go deeper and deeper into whatever, you know, all these other problems that people suffer, and they're only demons that put lies around you to try to keep you blocked and blinded and separated from what's already been done for you 2,000 years ago, right? So they block the cross, which is the only way to salvation, which is the only thing that's going to give you the full healing and the perfection now in your life. And it's all been done. But if it's all been done, then what are we doing? I mean, what's the church doing, right? We're playing church games on Sunday. I mean, you know, it's strange fire. I mean, there are all these burning sacrifices, but nothing goes from them. Like, there's no power, right? There's no union. And he says, they're going to say, I cast out demons and I prophesied in your name and I did all this stuff for you, God. And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. So he's calling that stuff iniquity because it's a worker and a doer of your own thing, because it's not following what the word's telling you to do. It's not doing the will of God, which is the word of God. Okay, so he's saying, do the will of God. I do the will of God. My bread, my food is by doing the will of God. Okay. That's what Jesus did. But the church is over here doing all these other things to try to please God, giving him an offering. He wants your body as an offering, right? I offer my body and I offer my kids. That's it. And then he fills you and then you obey him. You obey the commands and the precepts of God. That's doing the will of God. I do your commandments. What are your commandments? Everything you tell me to do. That's a command, and I follow it, and I do it, regardless of my understanding, because you never have the understanding in full, because you wouldn't do it, right? If he gave you the full understanding immediately like that, you'd weigh it up with your human wisdom, and you'd try to decide whether or not that's viable for you this week, right? You wouldn't do it, and that's why we walk by faith, and he'll lead you into areas and things that you wouldn't go in if you had the full knowledge of it at that point. But you go into it because you're obedient to him and you know that his plans for you are good and you know that his purpose for you is good. The call on your life will be fulfilled when you're obedient to his commands and his voice, which is inside of you. Not obedient to the commands that are dictated to you from the pulpit. Right? Where they're making like wonderful salaries and incredible tithes are coming into the church. But what's happening to the people? Their spirits are dry. They're not full. They're not in union with God, and they feel like they're tithing their 10% to the church, or they're serving on the church, or they're doing whatever they need to do to feel like they're working or doing something for God, but their spirits are dry because the Holy Spirit hasn't filled their body. Their burning lamps aren't full, right? The foolish virgins, it's the foolish bride. And the people that are leading that movement are in the ones who have that on their hands. That's blood on their hands. Because they're the ones that are saying it's all going to be okay as long as we keep doing this stuff. But those people, the bride of Christ, needs to be full with a burning, brilliant Shekinah, burning bright light, fire in your bones, preaching the gospel to the lost. Not worrying about what other people are going to think or say or do. None of that matters. It's obedience to God and God only, following His commands and doing what He tells you to do, regardless of what everybody else is doing. And that's the union. And that union brings you what? Authority. Because you come in not knowing. You don't come in knowing everything. You come in by faith like a little child, He says. The little children are the ones that get the authority, because they're humble. They don't think they know everything. They come in all humility and just want to learn, right? But you've got babies dying in the pole, in the church, in the pews, in the church buildings, because the pulpit isn't feeding them the meat to nourish them, to grow them up so they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and have the maturity that brings them the confidence and the strength of God through their lives, where they can go out and boldly live out the plan that God's got for their life, not the plan that God's got for the church's vision, but for God's vision for your individual life. And so they think that they're tithing, they think that they're doing their service, they think that, you know, they're doing their connect groups and their Bible studies, and they're reading all these dead letters that kill, right? It says, without the Holy Spirit burning through your body, you can't get the revelation of what the Word's saying to you, and it's a dead letter that kill. What does it do? It puts a yoke of heaviness. It puts a yoke of law on top of you. And then you feel like you can never do it, right? You feel like you're just never going to be able to do what the Scriptures are telling you to do, so you give up. You keep the front of being a Christian, you put the Scriptures to the side, and you just play the part. And you jump through the hoops and you just, you know, keep doing it. Right? And then that yoke comes from the pulpit more and more, and then you're too afraid, unless you're starving to death and dying, to walk out and go and find what it is that you need to be eating. Because if you're not eating the right food and being transformed from within and actually changed from the old man to the new man, right? The new man is Christ in you. If that new man isn't growing up and becoming who you are, if you're still in the old nature and just saying the words, I'm a new creation in Christ, but not actually believing it and having the authority, then it's fake. It's just a counterfeit religion. It's just like every other religion. It's just, there's no difference to it. I mean, if he's either the Lord of everything or the Lord, not the Lord at all. Everything He said has to be true. Every word He spoke has to be true. If He says, I've given you all of authority and every word that you speak will go forth and it won't fall to the ground, that's what's meant to happen. And if that's not happening, then who is this Jesus, right? So are you representing Him right from the pulpit? Is He? The body of Christ is meant to be transforming the world with love and governing over the evilness and the wickedness from the heavens, living out of that spiritual realm and speaking the word that penetrates people's consciousness, so they're convicted of their sin, so they can turn from it and repent and be saved. That's what the gospel's meant to do. That's not what's happening in the Western church. The Western church has removed the love and the authority, which has removed the Holy Spirit, because they won't let Him have His way. They won't let Him do what He's meant to do. He's meant to fill the bodies, and then those bodies go out and do what they're meant to do. But if you're eating and drinking, if these people who you're receiving from are meant to be pouring themselves out like a drink offering, and that's the spirit you're drinking from, and that spirit isn't filling your body with the Holy Spirit, which convicts you of your sin, which removes that darkness out of you so you can be filled with righteousness and light. And then you repent from your old life completely because you know God's real all of a sudden because you've been filled with Him. It's not like you've learned it or you've got a degree in it. It's that you've got the revelation and you've met Him face to face inside of your body and you've had the encounter that's transformed and changed your life. It means that you've been delivered from darkness and entered the kingdom. Not entered the church building, not entered the tithing week or, you know, or the Bible study. You've entered the kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom. This isn't His kingdom. He says, my kingdom's not of this world, right? And then you, through the glory, you bring the kingdom into this realm. But it's a salvation army. I mean, you're getting souls that are going to be saved forever. The lost sheep, that's who you're preaching to. The lost ones who don't know who they are, who are still being, you know, trying to find some food so they can grow. And all they're doing is getting crap and rules and laws put upon them. They haven't come into the spiritual unity inside of their body with the Lord. They haven't married their bridegroom. And what happens when you get married? You do what He says. He's your husband. You do what He says. It's no different. That's the marriage covenant. That's why we've got it in the natural, so you can have a representation of what God's talking about. It's a marriage covenant, except His love. But He's tough love as well. He chastises you because He breaks you so you can be humble enough to receive His spirit, because it's a spirit of humility. It's a spirit of meekness, okay, which means He goes low. He doesn't come up. He's low, always low. And for you to carry that humble spirit, you have to have that pride removed out of your mind. And that's a constant breaking of your body, of your human will, of your emotions, of your intelligence, of your intellect, of your wisdom. If everything that you have as a human being is constantly fought with the spirit, right? The spirit of God wars with the flesh. The Spirit of God is always at work inside of you to keep you low, to break you. They broke Jesus on the cross. You get broken on the cross, right? And then you're continuously, He keeps you broken so you remain humble, so His grace can rest upon you. And it's not a fake prosperity grace where I've got everything in the materialistic world that I feel good about. It's a grace where you know that you're saved. You're not no longer condemned from the sin. You've actually gone through the cross and received the forgiveness for all those sins that you did, for all that hidden darkness, for all those things that you did that you shouldn't have done. You know, that all came to revelation when you went through the cross and you're like, I need the cross all of a sudden. And then you receive the forgiveness of God and then you become humble. He fills your body with Himself and then off you go and you do the will of God. That's what's meant to be going on. That's it. It's not a religion war. It's not a let's be a Christian church. It's just the revelation of being God inside of your bodies, letting God have your body and do His will. Whatever that destiny is that He has for you, your destiny is eternity, right? I mean, if you're listening to this message, then you're a child of God. If you're listening to this message, then your inheritance is in heaven, not here. Okay. So that's it. And so when you're receiving from that person, that's preaching to you, if that's the table of the Lord that you're feeding off, then that should be filling you and building you up. And strengthening you and encouraging you and giving you revelation. True revelation of who you are in God, who you are in the kingdom. No longer slaves, but free. Right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is unity, liberty, freedom. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is unity. Because it's a spiritual unity. We all have the same Spirit. There's not a different Holy Spirit. I mean, it's one Holy Spirit, one God. He is the Lord. Holy Spirit is the Lord God. He's the Lord, and he's in you, and he's in the kids, and he's in me, and he's in everybody else. He's the same Spirit. And some yield to that Spirit more than others, and some don't. But it's that yielding to letting him reveal to you. Okay, but we humble ourselves. He says, the little children have the revelation of the authority. Who are these little children? They're humble. They've humbled themselves and they've come in to learn from the anointed one, right? And then they eat and they drink and they get the revelation and then they're filled to overflowing. And there's no more starvation. There's no more famine in the land. There's no more, you know, torment from the demonic. There's no more witchcraft. What else was I going to say? There's none of that. It's a complete surrendering to the Lord. Like when the Lord walked through the earth and the demons, he walked through a city, right? And then they said two demon-possessed men came up to him. They approached him. He didn't approach them. The demon-possessed man came to him and they said, what are you doing, Jesus Christ? Has our time already come? Or, you know, have you come to judge the world already? They knew. And he says, and they said, can you just send us into the herd of pigs? Because they knew they were going to be cast out and sent to hell, right? Where they're tormented by Satan. And he said, all right, you can go to the pigs. He already knew that those pigs were going to go over the cliff. So he thought, I'll deal with them all, right? And then so they went into the pigs. The pigs went over the cliff. The guys that were herding the pigs looked at him and went, what's going on here? You know, they were like soothsayers and sorcerers, these two pig herders, right? They were warlocks. They ran back into the city to tell everybody what had happened, and the whole city came up trying to cast Jesus out of their city because they knew that the time has come upon them when it's their time to be cast out, and the Lord has come to now fill those bodies with himself. Because without the Lord filling your body, the demons just have total possession of you again. So you need to be filled with righteousness. You need to be, who is the Lord? His name is righteousness. I am righteousness. I am the Tzedakah, the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of the promise. So they knew, now he has come, these demons have to go. And they can't come back into the bodies because now righteousness has filled your temple. Right? Prior to that, there was no permanent salvation from sin. You sin, you give a demon access to your body. That's just how it went. You know what I mean? You partake in sin, the power of sin, which is the power of Satan. Okay, that's Satan's dominion, that's Satan's kingdom, sin. Wickedness, trickery, lying, deceit, thieving, sin, darkness. You partake in sin, you allow a demon to have control over your body. It's simple as that. You give him permission, legal rights, and say, yes, it's okay. And so the world was screwed. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. They were all sleeping with each other. It was just a filthy pig pen. We had no salvation. Everyone kept sinning because of the evil inside of them. The wickedness inside of them continued to make them sin. And even if they didn't want to sin, they still sinned because it was in them. And they had no permanent victory over it. It was always coming back. And it was a constant war against this power of sin that always had control. But then salvation came and he said, I'm going to save these people from their what? From their church meetings? No, from their sin. I'm going to come and give them a church so they can go to on Sunday. No, I'm going to come and give them salvation from their sin. Save them from Satan. Deliver them from Satan. All it is him coming and then he goes, oh, I've got to go. The disciples were so sad, don't leave me. And he goes, it's better if I go because then I'm going to send you a friend. I'm going to send you a helper. The Holy Spirit who can remain and dwell inside of your body, and now sin can't ever get back into you again permanently. They can try to oppress you from the outside. They can try to lie to you and trick you and make you believe and come into agreement with, oh, I don't have him all of a sudden. I don't have God. Maybe I still need to search for God, right? And that's called the bewitchment of the Galatians, right? He says, you foolish Galatians, what? Who has bewitched you? I've already told you and preached the gospel that you're saved. You're free from sin. You permanently have Jesus inside of your body. Who has bewitched you and told you that you need something else? What liar has come and given you that lie? Right? Beelzebub, the king, the lord of the flies. Yeah? He comes and he lies and he pretends to you that you need something else other than the Lord inside of you. You need to tithe. You need to go to Bible study. You need to do, you know, all those things are good, but you don't need it to be free. You're already given salvation, freedom in the Lord. So he came, provided the answer. He fulfilled the law, became the sacrifice for sin. Your sins are now forgiven. He lives inside of your temple. Demons have to leave your body. They flee. And now sin can never have the power over you again. You are now a new creation in Christ. No more do I live in the old man or the flesh. I now live in the new creation man. And I eat that and I drink that and it gets me strengthened and strong. And the power of God takes hold of my body. His fire burns through my bones. The demons don't even come near you. They run away. Right? They run away. They ask you to please, please don't hurt me. They please, please don't cast me out. Please, please leave my city. Right? It's not you trying to run from sin anymore. Sin runs from you. It's the other way around. That's salvation. That's what the cross did. They should be preaching that from the pulpit. But if they're not preaching that from the pulpit, why not? Because if you get a revelation of who that is or what that does for you, you no longer need it. You don't need to go there anymore. You've been set free, right? You can save your money. You can maybe give it to somebody who's actually feeding you the right food, bread from heaven, the wine of the Spirit. Holy Spirit fills your body. Increases your joy and your bliss, right? He says, I love a cheerful giver. Do you know what that means? I love a hilarious giver. Or, let me read this to you. All right, he says, so everyone come to me. Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Then come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am an oasis. Simply join your life with mine, he says, okay? Join your life with mine, or bend your neck to my yoke. Okay, so bend your neck to my yoke. And there's a metaphor where the scripture where it talks about don't muzzle the ox, right? And you've got the two oxes working together and they're yoked together with that yoke thing. And both of them are oxes and they're walking like that and they're treading out the grain, aren't they? Which is they're treading out the word of God. What's grain? Seed, right? What's the word of God? It's a seed. It goes into your body, into your brain, and it's alive and active because this is the living and active word, and it comes alive inside of you, and boom, you're alive, right? Now you've got salvation, now you're saved, new life, right? But you're yoked to, who's going to tread out the grain with you? Jesus. You're yoked to Jesus. How do you get the revelation of the word? Because you're yoked to the one that wrote it. If you're not yoked to the one that wrote the word, then you don't, You can't preach the seed that's going to go in and make them alive and active. You've got a dead letter that kills them and keeps them under the law and in chains, right? So, you know, maybe that's got something to do with the fact that they're not yoking you to Jesus. You're meant to be yoked to Jesus, one with Christ, yada to God, bridegroom. He's your husband, not your pastor. You're yoked to Jesus Christ together, oxen. We're treading out the grain, we're getting the word of God into our spirits and it makes us alive and active. And now we've got a double-edged sword that we pierce darkness with, right? And it sets you free from the power of sin and from darkness. You speak that into the atmosphere and darkness flees, you're free. That's it. If enough people got a hold of that, they wouldn't have any power on the top of the pyramid. You would quickly rise up, pierce the darkness out of them, and they would become humble very quickly and realize that their knowledge and their wisdom of this world was futile and they were actually blinded by Satan, the god of this world, right? But you come with the God of heaven and you reveal to them their foolishness and their wickedness and their pride, and they quickly become humble and they realize, like, oh my God, I actually didn't know it all, and now I do. Thank you so much. Even though I persecuted you, even though I gossiped about you and slandered you and tried to kill you and murder you and said all types of evil things about you. You were right, and I thank you. And what do? We go, forgiveness, of course. How many times do I forgive them, God? They said. How many times do I forgive them, Lord? Seven times seven, seven, right? You always forgive. Constant forgiveness. Constantly washing their sins because people don't know. How can they know when they're deceived from the darkness of this world, right? When religion and every other control system tries to keep them in, okay? But you're free because you're yoked to Jesus Christ. And then when you sow into that yoke, you receive from the kingdom of heaven. You know? And then everybody eats, but... You know, God can put that yoke on any, God will yoke to anybody who is willing to do his will, right? Not do his will so we can have a fortune, not do his will so we can start a church and you know, have like a huge congregation, or not do his will so we can be famous or self-promoting. We do his will because he saved us from darkness and now we love him so much because we knew what we were in. Right? And we'll do anything for him, and we love him. So we'll do his will no matter what. You know? That's the kingdom. That's the gospel. That's salvation. So thank you, God, for everyone that's listening today, that those seeds that were sown would be planted in their heart, Father. I thank you, angels, that you would water them and bring them in for harvest when the time is ripe and the seed is watered, and that they are ready to enter the kingdom at any time now that the revelation of the cross has come upon their lives, that they're set free from all darkness and wickedness and pride, and that humility is taken hold of their lives, that the grace of God rest upon them. In Jesus' name, thank you for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Amen.